I want to ask you today, if you would, to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. We're going to be looking at a passage that I'm sure you're very familiar with, and I want us to look at it in the context of where we are as a church. I also think that if you picked up a worship guide when you came in, there was a card like this inside that worship guide, and I want you to keep that handy because we will refer to that at the conclusion of the message. We come to a time at this time every year for many, many years in the life of First Baptist Cleveland, when we enter into a time of specific giving to something we call the Global Mission Offering. It's an offering that we've taken up, as far as I know, for about the last 40 years at least. I think in the mid-70s we changed how we did that as a church. Receive it one time a year, although throughout the year many people give that. As a matter of fact, already in 2015, as we look toward our 2016 goal, you have given about $125,000 toward that. We'll be talking more about the specific goal for that and what else you've done over the course of the message today. But I just want to say thank you for how you have been giving to that. Inside your worship guide today, by the way, you saw a Generations Legacy envelope as well. This is a fifth Sunday of a month. Every month that has a fifth Sunday, we focus on this. People give to this throughout the year as well, but we zero in on that. Our desire this year is that by the end of this year, we will have reduced our debt by $1 million. That's an unbelievable accomplishment. Because of your giving, it is going to be possible. So as you think toward the end of the year and your giving, please consider our budget, our Global Mission Offering, our Manna Ministry, as well as our Generations Legacy. You've been incredible in that, and this year is no exception to that. And again, as we think about this whole idea of the Global Mission Offering, you've already given $125,000 and given some more that we'll talk about in just a moment as well. But I want us to zero in on that today as we look toward that, toward the end of this year and through January of 2016. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at the last few verses of this particular chapter and see what kind of challenge Jesus Christ laid out to his followers at that point in time and how that challenge can be laid out for each and every one of us today. You know, the truths of Scripture are relevant specifically in the specific situation for the time in which they were written, but they apply to us in a variety of ways in our day and time. Everything in God's Word applies in some way to something that you and I either are going through, have gone through, or will go through, and we can depend on the truth and the reality of God's Word to take us and show us what we need to be shown, where we need to go in every single arena of our lives. And this is a challenge that we want to see today, what God might be saying to me and to you and to us as First Baptist Church of Cleveland, Tennessee. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35, reading through verse 38. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Whatever translation you follow, either with a Bible or with an electronic device, follow along as I read the last four verses of Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now, if you look at that verse, you will see that Jesus is the one who had been doing all of these things. And if you read the previous chapters, you will see that Jesus was doing the work. But there is a transition that's taking place in the last part of chapter 9, moving forward to verse 10 and throughout the rest of the book, a change from Jesus doing things to those specifically who were following him to take upon themselves the work that he was doing to carry that out. The specific application for them today is also an application for us today, that we are to be carrying on the work that Jesus was doing. Maybe not in exactly the specific ways. Oh, certainly we can go about teaching. We can go about proclaiming the gospel, healing every kind of disease. We can pray for that. We believe God can do that instantaneously. But this was a unique kind of day. This is still happening. We believe it does still happen and will continue to happen as long as God is on his throne, and he always will be. And then looking at every kind of sickness and addressing those particular kinds of situations. But from this point on, it expands to Jesus plus others. And again, that includes even you and me today. Verse 36, and seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." I want us to look at three things today, one from each of the verses 36, 37, and 38, that challenge us about how we're to live our lives individually and what we are to be doing corporately as First Baptist in Cleveland, Tennessee. The first point is this. Number one, be aware of human need. Care like Jesus cared. As I was thinking about the title of this message, I titled it initially Mission Impossible or Our Impossible Mission. But then I got to thinking about that. You know, if I think it's impossible, then maybe it is not going to happen. Not because my thinking determines it, but I don't want to be thinking it's something we can't do. And so it's now Mission Possible. Our mission possible if we will call upon God to lead us in the process. And the first thing that needs to happen to us is we need to be aware of human needs. We need to care like Jesus cared. Look at verse 36 and see what it says. Seeing the multitudes, Jesus felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. The context of this is not so much he had compassion for the physical needs that the people had, although he was healing diseases, he was addressing sickness, he was meeting physical needs they had. The context is really the spiritual needs that they had. The harvest being spoken of is a spiritual harvest. And that harvest is a spiritual healing, a spiritual coming to accept Christ as the Savior and Lord of his life. And as Jesus looked out, he saw a lostness in the crowd that became a burden to him. It was already a burden to him, but as he crossed paths with his people, that burden increased in its intensity. The question begging us today is, do we have that same kind of burden for lost people? Look at what it says. He saw them as distressed and downcast. Distressed means almost hopeless. It means they're going about life. Yes, they're living day to day, but there's no real joy in living. There's no real eternal perspective. Maybe they're living just for themselves and not for others. And so they're inward turned rather than outward turned. And Jesus wanted them and wants us to see people outward, not looking continually inside to ourselves. Oh, he wants to examine our hearts, but he wants us to be others-minded, and that's exactly what he was. Downcast and distressed. That would seem to indicate a hopelessness in life. We are a people of hope. We are a people who are ones of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We have that hope and that faith in Christ because of the truth of his word and because of the truth of who he was as he walked upon this earth. But he saw in those people an emptiness. As I read this verse, and every time I read this verse, I think of trips to Nepal. And as we walk around and see people in a hopeless state. Oh, they might be smiling, but as you see them go through their religious habits, you can see that it is an incredible hopelessness in what they do, wondering if the spinning of the wheels of prayer is really going to get their prayers to God. The waving of the colorful flags is going to get those prayers flapping in the wind to get to God, sacrificing still these animals, believing that they have to pay some kind of price, not recognizing that there is a salvation that is absolutely free, totally free by grace through faith in the Son of God who died on the cross that we might have everlasting life. Jesus saw people in that way and felt a compassion for them. How much compassion do you and I have about the lostness around us? About the lostness of people in our own family, about the lostness of people in our community, about the lostness of people in the uttermost parts of this world. I wrote in my Bible some time ago, I don't know when I did, this question in regard to this passage. Listen to this. Have you ever imagined what it would be like to never hear about Jesus? Have you ever just sat and thought, I wonder what it would be like never to have heard about Jesus? That's almost impossible for us to comprehend. And yet that is a reality in this world today. And it's not just in the uttermost parts of the world. It's in the United States of America. As we've heard of people who've gone to Calgary or to Las Vegas or other places in North America. They say, we can't believe there are people that have never heard about Jesus. Vance Pittman, the pastor of Hope Church, he doesn't say that Las Vegas is a post-Christian culture. He says it's a pre-Christian culture because so many out there have never heard of Jesus Christ. That's unbelievable, but it's a reality. Do we have compassion on them like Jesus did? Do we care like Jesus did? If we look in Romans at chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, we see that Paul had a burden similar to that of Jesus Christ. If you want to turn there, do that. Romans chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, Paul talks about a willingness on his own heart to give up his own salvation that his own people might come to know Christ. Look at what he said. Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 1. I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. Why? For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He's burdened about the lost sheep of Israel. And he's saying, I'm willing to be separated from God if that's what's necessary that they might come to know Christ. Is that my burden? Is that your burden? He didn't have to go to that extent because just as Rusty prayed, God has enough grace to save everybody that he chooses to save. And everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved because God's grace is sufficient for that. But we need to understand this compassion is something that we need to ask God for initially. A compassion not just about the physical needs. Oh, that ought to be great. But a compassion that goes deeper in regard to the spiritual needs that those who are lost have in this world. I want you to listen to a guy that's what is called a master trainer in Nepal. He is a guy that you literally support his family over the course of a year by your giving to our global mission offering. Matter of fact, we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But this guy was with us a few hours while we were there just a few weeks ago, and I want you to listen to what he says. His face is blocked out because we know this is going out over the airwaves, and he and our missionary said, don't put his picture on there. He's on a list, and he's had his life threatened because of his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're paying his salary. Listen to what he says. I'm standing here on the top of a facility that you help pay for every time you give to our church budget and especially to our global mission offering. And I'm standing here with a worker in Nepal that you also help support in an incredible ministry called a Master Trainer Ministry. And I want him just to share with you what your support means to him and a little bit about what he's doing in ministry. So would you just take a moment and do that, please?
Yes, sure. So this is Pradeep from Nepal, and I'm so grateful and thankful to this Master Trainer project that I lead and I'm doing. And through this, we do a lot of training on discipleship and church planting.
Awesome.
To be multiplied, and so far we have five different places that we are running this training at time. Mm-hmm. And a few more are coming in next few months when things in Nepal calms down. So we're so grateful to that, and through that training we're seeing a tremendous growth, and like every week I receive the messages that of new converts and new villages reached out, and new baptism, and new churches started. And it's really encouraging and really energizing thing.
Well, we're so thankful for what you're doing and how you're letting the Lord use you. Would you mind just sharing with our people about how their help and contributions help you and how you see that helping in the future?
Yeah. We're so thankful to you, and on behalf of my team and Tabernacle Ministries, we're so grateful, and thank you very much for stretching your hands and helping us financially and by sending these wonderful people time to time to encourage us. Their few days of visit help us to go next 6 months, and we know that you are backing us up through prayer, through concern, and through the generous help that you provide. That is really stretching and going further than you or I can imagine. And through this empty project, we are reaching to the places that we could not have done. And the thing that I share, the things that I receive every week or every day, and the places that I go and I get a mass of God's word, I don't know it would have been possible without your help that you are regularly and faithfully giving. So we are so much grateful, and thank you very much. In future, it will go further because we are in a multiplication mode, and it will go further, and we can see the kingdom is extended and expanded in this part of the world.
Thank you again for what you're doing and the way that you're helping take the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the world. And it's through real people like him that your gifts are being used to accomplish what God desires for us to do.
I want you to look at a picture of a spear for just a moment. I want to try to give you an illustration of what Pradeep is doing and what you're doing. If you look at that spear, to the right end is the point of that spear. And if we magnify it, you can see that that point is obviously what penetrates the object first. If you could picture in your mind, the young man that you just heard talking is like the tip of that spear. Because he's going up into the hills, he and 8 to 10 others, we hope in the future like him, are going up to places where it's utter darkness spiritually, places where they've never heard the name of Jesus Christ. You're providing for him to provide for his family while he's doing this through your gifts to our global mission offering. That is touching the darkness of this world. How much do we care about the spiritual darkness to be supportive? Yeah, we're all a part of that spear. He's at the very point of that spear, penetrating the darkness. And we have guys like Tim DeRoos and Stephen Beasley and Joe Washington and others who are going into places where they don't believe the gospel is being shared, doing unbelievable kinds of things. But it's not just Nepal. It's places all over the world that this is necessary. And your faithfulness is helping that to happen. Care like Jesus cared. The second part is be aware of the redemptive mission. Work like Jesus worked. Look at what verse 37 says. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Now, every one of us has an obligation to be a worker. Work is not a four-letter bad word. And for the cause of Christ, it's a word that we ought to be faithful in being engaged in as we go about doing what God calls us to do. Being a part of the same work Christ did. What did he say he came to do? He said, "I came to seek and to save those who are lost." And that's what we're about as well. We want to make disciples because it's disciples making disciples, making disciples, making disciples. Remember we talked about that? Who are impacting the world. One of the missionaries that you support, his name is Will, and he, on the video that you're going to see, is in a place in Western Nepal where he flew in a propeller plane for, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half, then was on a 12-hour bus ride. Then he hiked for 3 days with his daughter to get to this location. Listen to what he says about working like Jesus works.
Hey, I just wanted to send a special video message to all of you at First Baptist Cleveland to again express my thanks for all of your tremendous support for me and my family and the entire Himalayan team. We're so blessed by the team you just sent, and still thinking about that and praying about the possibilities of what the future could look like as we continue to partner together. Right now I'm in Mugu in the Midwest of Nepal, about to start our second training on this journey. The church is right behind me over here, people getting ready to go in, and really excited. Very few of these trainings are available, discipleship trainings, but we're going to talk about how to share the gospel with friends and family, early discipleship methods, really simple discipleship methods, and the very basic principles of being a healthy church. And so thank you all for everything you do to make it possible for guys like me to be here. There's thousands of guys like me and families around the world doing the same kind of things I'm doing today. And I appreciate your prayers. Thank you for your sacrificial giving to Lottie Moon and all of your prayers and all the many, many ways you support us. And I just hope you receive this well, and I know that we love you, and pray that you guys have a wonderful day. And thank you.
Romans 10, Paul made this statement in Romans 10, chapter 13. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. We're a people who need to be a going and ascending people. You have done incredible in that, and I praise the Lord for that. We'll look at some specifics in just a moment, but again, it is imperative for us to be working like Jesus worked to penetrate the darkness with the cause of Jesus Christ. And the third point is, we need to be aware of our divine purpose. We need to pray like Jesus prayed. Look at verse 38. Here's what he said. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. That word beseech means beg, pray, ask earnestly. We need to be praying that God would send forth workers. Everybody cannot go. We understand that. But every single one of us can pray. There's not a single one of us that should not be praying for what God desires to do in sending forth workers into his harvest, calling people out to full-time service, to part-time mission efforts for what he desires to do in the midst of this world around us. Let me just share with you some things that you have done in 2015. Do you remember about this time a year ago, Brother Allen laid out the challenge that 10% of our regular attenders go on mission somewhere outside of Bradley County in 2015. With our group, and that's 300 people. Our average attendance is about 3,000. That's 300 people. As of this Friday, when the 8 people from our church, along with one not from our church, left to go on a mission effort, they were the 300 first people to go out from First Baptist Cleveland in 2015. 301 people, and there's going to be about 33 or 34 more that are going to go. The trip to Hammond, Oklahoma, and the trip down to Atlanta with Operation Christmas Child. The challenge was laid out before us by Brother Allen, 300 to go. It's going to be about 335 people that have gone out in 2015. Our goal for Operation Christmas Child boxes was that we would pack 1,000 boxes. As of this past Monday, the official count, this is the gospel truth. Oh, you're going to think I'm lying about this. The gospel truth, as of this past Monday, we had 991 boxes. In my office, brought in this week, were 7 boxes. That makes 998. I went out into the commons this morning and there were two, I promise, God is my witness, two boxes sitting on the desk in the commons. 998 plus two equals what? 1,000 boxes, mission accomplished by you for what you have done. And I have a box or two at my house that I hadn't brought yet, so we're going to go over that goal. Mission accomplished by you. Last year, we looked to build 50 homes for people in care and learning at $1,000 a home. You were challenged to that. You built 67 homes. Mission accomplished by you. Our goal last year was $500,000 for our global mission offering. We received about $461,000, the largest mission offering we have ever received. And this year, toward our goal, also of $500,000, as I said before, we've received $125,000 already, plus the average box of Christmas Child, Operation Christmas Child at $25 a box. That's $25,000. So we're at $150,000 already, meaning we only have to get $350,000 more in the next 2 months to reach this goal. Well, how's that going to be distributed? Take this card, if you would, please. Look on the black side of the card, and it tells you how that's broken out. A different breakout in some parts than last year, but still something that's very attainable, I believe, if God gets in this and gets in our hearts. You'll see our global mission for 2015-16, and you can see halfway down the page, 550, 500, 5,000, 500,000. What does that mean? The five, First Baptist Church people called and sent out for extended mission service in 2016. Maybe going for 6 months, maybe going for a year, maybe going for 2 years, but longer than just a short-term mission trip. Maybe going to help plant a church in Las Vegas or Calgary or Washington, D.C. or someplace else, but sent out full-time, 6 months or beyond, called out from our church, five of them, 50. 50 trips from First Baptist Cleveland in 2016. This year we had about 30, we will have had 35 trips that made up that 330 something people going out on mission. 500 FBC members going on short-term mission trips. 335 this year, 500 next year. Increase the challenge. 5,000 FBC folks regularly praying for God to send forth workers into the harvest. You say, wait a minute, our average attendance is only 3,000. Yes, it is. But did you know that we have about 5,000 members at First Baptist Cleveland? Now, the sad reality is we don't know where a lot of them are. A lot of them don't come. A lot of them don't attend anything. A lot of them don't give. But that's the reality. But there is no reason that all 5,000 members, and plus children and others that we have that are not yet members, they're some of God's greatest prayer warriors. They can be praying. So 5,000 people doing that, and then a $500,000 global mission offering goal, again, of which you've already given $150,000 this year. Look at how that's broken down. The first four things are things that we've done for over 40 years at First Baptist Cleveland, or three of the four have. We just started new, the part going to help people go on short-term mission trips. We started that about 3 or 4 years ago, but the other three we've been doing for over 40 years. But then partnering with cities in North America, Calgary, Las Vegas, and Washington, D.C. We are partnering with our association in Washington, D.C. We've sent people already to Calgary. We've sent people a number of years ago to Las Vegas, but we're seeing that God's going to be raising that up again as we work with at least two churches in Las Vegas in 2016 and see God help them to be planted, one that is being planted and one that's already been planted. And then the Operation Christmas Child, that's what you've already done. And then this is what's taking the place of the Cambodia Build a City that you did last year. And it's a greater request because the need is greater. Maybe you've been reading or hearing about some of the challenges that our denomination is having through our International Mission Board and us having to bring people off the mission field. That is a tragic situation. As a matter of fact, Jeff Lovingood is going to be heading down to Orlando this week to be meeting with some people from our denomination to talk about that situation and what we need to do. But here's one thing every single Southern Baptist church needs to do, and that is step up to the plate more than we have ever done before. It is urgent. I believe with all of my heart, you know what's going on all around the world. Let me tell you some things you may not be aware of. In South Asia, some of those countries are quietly but certainly closing the doors on what our international missionaries are doing. They're creating difficult circumstances for them to be working the way that they've been working in the past. As a matter of fact, right after the first of the year, there's going to be a great relocation in South Asia from one or two countries to other countries because of what's happening. There is an urgency about this. I don't know if it's the end of time as we know it or not, but I know we're closer to that than what we've ever been before, and there are things happening like never happened before, and I'll never forget what was shared the first or second time with me that I went to Nepal. The missionary said, the door is open now, but we believe it will be closed sometime in the near future. But there's a vision by our folks who are in Nepal that by the year 2020 or 2025 at the latest, that every unengaged, unreached people group in Nepal has been reached. In that part of the world, there's the greatest level of unreached people groups than anywhere else in the world. I'm not talking about just Nepal, but in that South Asia and Southeast Asia area. God is calling us to a higher commitment than we've ever made before. Every single one of us. Will you pray? Will you go? Will you send people? Look on the back, on this white part of this page. This is where you can respond. You responded unbelievably last year. Last year, 278 people indicated a willingness to go on some kind of trip outside Bradley County. Almost 800 indicated a willingness to pray for the people, but everybody ought to do that. We're not going to be bugging you. As a matter of fact, we did a horrible job last year. I did a horrible job last year communicating to you about prayer needs for these areas and what's going on. We're going to do a much better job in 2016. But here's the call to you today. How will you respond to what God desires for you to do? Pray, send, go. Look at these 22 places listed. And if you're willing to pray that God might send workers into the harvest there and other places, just put a check mark on that P that's by that particular area. Remember, ask God to lay a particular place on your heart. That happened to me 27 years ago, and it's radically changed my life. What country has God placed on your heart? Ask Him to do that. Beg Him to do that, and then watch how that unfolds over the course of your life. Are you willing to pray? Put a check mark there. Are you willing to help send people? Give for them to go. Many of you have volunteered. Hey, I can't go, but I'll help people go. Let me know how I can do that. You are incredible at that. Thank you for doing that. And your giving to the Global Mission Offering helps that as well. If you're willing to help send people, mark that by that particular area. Maybe you're willing to go. If you're willing to go to any one of these 22 places, and again, you're not making a commitment right here. You're just saying, I'm willing to consider that. And maybe there's another place. Play like there's a blank line down there, and God's laying on your heart to go somewhere else. Where might that place be? I'm willing to go. And if you'll put your name and your email, and if for some reason you don't do email, give us a phone number. We can contact you, and we'll communicate with you throughout 2016 what God is doing in each of these places. For the places that you indicate you have a desire for God to work in your heart, hear me now. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus said that 2,000 years ago, but there's more people now than there's ever been in this world. There's more lost people than there's ever been, and God has called for First Baptist Cleveland to be a light to the world. He said to us as parents, for in regard to our children, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth, ready to get them to the place where they penetrate the darkness with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what God's calling us to do more than we've ever done before. Yes, we've done great things, but that's past. We've got to continue on and do even greater things because it is an urgent time. What are you willing to do? Would you pray about that card? Maybe you can fill that card out right now. And if you do, as you leave, put it in a box or take it to the basket by the door or take it to the welcome center desk. Maybe you need to pray about it. But listen, you don't need to pray about it forever. Bring it back next Sunday. whatever God's laying upon your heart, we want to know that people are praying, that people are sending, that people are willing to go, because we want to communicate with you more clearly how you can be a part of beseeching the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into the harvest from First Baptist in Cleveland, Tennessee. God desires that to happen in greater ways than it's ever happened before. How will you be a part of that? Would you bow your head and pray with me, please? God, there's no way, no way that I can say the things that I wanted to say, that I believe you wanted me to say during this time this morning. But God, I pray that your Spirit, far more than me, has spoken to the hearts of people here. Maybe this morning there would be people who would be committed to being called out for 6 months or more. We might hit that five before 2016 even rolls around. God, we'll give you the praise and the glory for that. People are willing to give. I know that the resources are there because you tell us in your word that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory. And that means through your people, you're going to do that naturally and supernaturally. And God, you're going to move us to pray because you're going to give us a burden like you had and like Paul had. God, maybe there's somebody here today that's never invited you into their heart as a Savior and Lord of their lives, but you've spoken to them by your Spirit, to their spirit, to move them to respond, and I pray they would do that. And I know the vast majority here are already believers. God, you're calling them to step up to the plate more than they ever have before. I believe that with all of my heart. It doesn't matter, though, really what I believe. It's what you desire in the hearts of people. And so, God, move upon their hearts to respond, and we'll be certain to give you and you alone the praise and the glory. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.